Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. This edition of 411 Teen welcomes the Politics Rap Team from James S. Rickards High School, IB International Baccalaureate Program. Students represent a diverse group with positions and political affiliations and perspectives coming from different directions. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me via the Zoom platform, I welcome the 411 Teen Politics Rap Team. I'll start with Tiffany. You want to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Tiffany, and I'm a senior at Rickards High School in the IB program.
Jad?
Hello, my name is Jad. I'm a senior at Rickards High School.
Jessica?
Hello, my name is Jessica Wong, and I'm a freshman at Rickards High School.
Okay, Sahastra?
Hello, my name is Sahastra Akula, and I'm a freshman at James S. Rickards High School.
Donald?
Hi, my name is Donald English, and I'm a junior at James S. Rickards High School.
Okay. And Nishi, who is our student producer?
Hi, I'm Nishi, and I'm a senior at James S. Rickards High School, and I'm also one of the student producers for this podcast.
And I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield again, and I'd like to welcome you all. It's been a minute since we've talked, so we are really glad to have you. We want to talk about what has been happening. First of all, with the Leon County schools, there's been a rash of safety incidents and a surge of tips and rumors about potential school violence. Several weeks ago, over 1,000 students were absent at Rickards High School, and then 25% of Leon High's student body didn't go to school that following Friday. And there's a surge of non-credible social media threats. False information has been stoking the fears and the anxieties in our schools and communities, among parents and among students. The district has already seen multiple arrests for weapons on campus, and I know at least two included loaded guns. And this is not only a Leon County issue, but a statewide issue and a nationwide issue. My first question to you is, what is going on? How do you read this? We even had a father who had to turn in, I think this was down in Wakulla, who had to turn in his 10-year-old son for making threats. So tell us, school us, take us to school. What is going on? Why is this happening? And I'll start with you, Tiffany, and we'll just go on down the line because I just want to get your reading on this.
I think that it has been amplified recently because of the amount of actual school shootings that have been actually happening, especially the one recently in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And the one that happened to our school happened right after that one. So everyone was more on high alert because we knew how severe this could actually be by how many actual school shooting that has actually happened and not just online threats. So everyone has been more on their on their feet, and everyone has been more cautious. Like, even if it's just a joke, everyone takes it more seriously. And it's a situation where everyone is always worried about what if it could actually happen or not. Like, even in school, you're thinking that, oh, this could happen at any moment right now, which is really terrifying, but it's also the reality that we live in.
Okay. Dad, where do you sit? Do you agree with Tiffany? How do you read this?
I personally agree with Tiffany. I think that there's recently been a lot more misunderstanding of, I think there most definitely needs to be put in a level of education and educating people about how these threats should, like, how, like, tips should be made and how we should be reporting this type of behavior, because for a lot of people it's just seen as like a joke, and and I think that we need to put more, like, the school systems especially needs to put more effort into educating students, especially, like, I heard about, like, the 10-year-old that, like, had to be reported in for making jokes about, like, school shootings. I think that we, like, I think that educators and the school district needs to put more effort into educating about why these tips, or, like, why these jokes can't be made, especially because of, like, heightened, because of how many school shootings have already happened since the beginning of this year, and some people don't take it as seriously as it should be.
Okay. All right. Jessica?
I completely agree with Tiffany and Chad. I think even though a lot of people view these threats as jokes, like, they, like, this could potentially be something so dangerous and take a ton of lives. So every threat that is made should be taken seriously. And I know a threat was made to Rickards, and as soon as my parents heard it, I think they just told me, like, you shouldn't go to school tomorrow, because even if it's a joke, we're talking about life and death here, and it, like, it shouldn't be played around with. And I also saw the Appalachian shooting, and I saw a ton of survivors on TikTok talking about where they were, what they were doing in that school, and it's truly terrifying.
Yeah, I would think it is. I mean, and we'll get to this, but I just wonder how you all can concentrate, and do you feel safe? Sir Hasra, where do you sit? What do you think? I mean, are you comfortable in school? What do you think is the impetus? Why is this happening?
Well, although all of the threats are arising on social media, of course, there's that constant terror lurking behind everyone that's like, could this really happen right now? And I think that that shock doesn't occur to me every day at school, but there's always times, like, if we're ever having a lockdown drill, or we're just thinking about it, and we're like, ooh, this really is the reality for some places. And one moment that I recall was in sixth grade, where we actually had a real threat, like there was a shooting at Jack McLean Park, because in middle school, I went to Fairview Middle School, and Jack McLean Park was right down the road, and there was an actual, like, shooting or some sort of commotion that was going on with, like, armed people, and we did not know the location of those people, which is why there was a lockdown, and everyone in that room, we were all just kind of shaking at that point.
I guess so. Donald, how do you analyze what is going on? What do you think is happening?
I agree with what's really been said recently. I how sometimes people think it's a joke, and or they just say it just to be funny. But especially when you're not there, and like the threat's made over social media, and you're not there to really see the context. When you just see the snapshot, like, of the joke, you think, oh, this could be serious. I'm not going to take a chance on this. I am not going to go to school. Yeah. So, you can't take, especially when you don't know the context of what it was said. You can't, like, just kind of go on the risk that, like, oh, it's not probably not going to happen, because it has happened a lot.
Yeah. And Miss Nishi.
Honestly, like, I think I just want to point out the fact that a similar topic and, like, this range of, I guess, school safety and shootings and gun violence comes up every single podcast taping. And I feel like that in itself sends a message about how prevalent this issue is. And yet we don't really have as, like, many solutions being discussed. And our government isn't really prioritizing it, which should be, even though it should be a priority. Because when I told my parents about the threat, they didn't take it seriously, because it's like, it's become such a common thing, I guess. So it's like desensitized to a lot of people, especially in this time, I guess, of our country. It's become not as big of a deal when it's such a big deal. Like Jessica said, it's a matter of life and death. And yet we treat it like it's an everyday thing. And it has become an everyday thing. And that's like what the issue is. And it's honestly really disappointing to see what our country has become.
Do you all, I got a number of questions I'm going to throw out here. Do you all feel safe at school? What's the general ambiance, you know, of the milieu at school? And what do we do? I mean, do you have suggestions? Maybe you all have better suggestions. And I know you're right, Nishi, we've talked about this several times. Okay, we haven't talked about the rash of them happening this year because we haven't talked about it. But where do we sit? What do we do? What can we do? Where do you think we as adults are missing what's going on? How do we address this from where you sit, your perspective? And that's the question I'm throwing out to all of you. And I'll go right back up the line with Nishi. What do you think?
Honestly, like, it's such a, and it, I mean, it's not a complicated issue, but it's such a long-running issue that the solutions aren't that simple anymore because it's been going on for so long. At our school, like, Rickard specifically, they've, like, increased security within our schools. I know we talked about this, like, previously in a taping, but honestly, I don't really know if that's really changed much for me. It's not that I've ever felt exactly unsafe at school, but I think it's very common for any students at most public high schools in America to not feel the most safe with just like random fights breaking out. And then you hear people like walking on campus with guns. I remember very vividly, like when I was in middle school, I think seventh grade, I was on the bus and our bus suddenly stopped and like police officers came onto our bus to arrest a kid who had a gun in his backpack. Like it was just a very like, I remember that so clearly because it was just so shocking. But like now that's such a normal occurrence that it's like, I don't even know what would be the solution because it's just so much happening at this at once, and it just happens all the time now. So,
okay. Well, Donald, how do you feel? Yeah.
I will say that like from like day to day, I wouldn't say I feel unsafe at school, but if the topic is ever brought up, then, you know, the realization that, oh, this could happen to me, this could happen to my school and my friends, like, that's when it sets in. Again, there are many, like, there are a lot of, like, possible solutions to the issue, but they're so hotly contested from multiple angles when I believe the solution can be somewhat simple at times.
Okay. Well, you know, we're coming up on a break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and families and other interested folks. Right now, we're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this edition is a special edition. It's a regular, it is Politics Rap. And Politics Rap is when the Politics Rap team from Rickards High School kind of looks at what's happening on the local, state, and national level. We were just talking about just the feel of school, and I'd like to get everybody's input on that, and then we'll move on. Sir Hasra, how do you feel at school? You're a freshman there. And are you comfortable? Do you feel safe?
Well, like Nishi and Donald were saying, I don't necessarily feel unsafe at school. Mm-hmm. But, of course, I don't feel like it's the safest environment either.
But does that impact your learning and your, you know, just not feeling safe? It's like you always got to be looking over your shoulder. Or do you feel that way, or am I just magnifying it?
Not necessarily that I always have to look over my shoulder. Mm-hmm. It's just whenever there's a day where there's like where you hear about a fight or you smell some sort of like something kind of like weed from other people, you just kind of feel like there's definitely something going on.
Okay. All right. Jessica, what's your take on all of this?
It seems like Jessica's having some technical issues.
Okay. Dad.
So to like answer your question of like, do I feel safe at school? So as a senior, I've been at Rickards for around 4 years of my life, and so it's kind of like a second home for me. And there's been a lot of times where I didn't feel as safe as I was supposed to feel safe, because it's a school and people should be able to feel safe. But I feel like every time that there's like a loud noise in the hallways, like it just like always like it always like irks me, or like it always like makes me like pay extra attention to like what's happening in my surroundings, because like you never know what's going to happen, and the campus isn't like especially built for safety, I guess. It's like if there was a shooting in the school, the walls are very thin and you can literally hear anything even from outside of a classroom, and it's just something that's always in the back of your head that like if something like this does happen, there is really no way for me to get out. Like, I'm stuck here. And then to answer your other question of like what should we do to, increase like the safety of students, I think that security is a good way to, but I don't really feel like it's affected us in any way. It doesn't really like change anything about our school. I feel like the school is still the exact same even before we had all the security on campus. And I just don't, and like a lot, we, I know a lot, like a lot of, especially IB students carry the same sentiments that like the security, like, and like the people that patrol the school really do nothing. They help to break up fights, of course, and they do like their main, like their patrols around the school, but that's really it.
And Tiffany?
I definitely agree with Jad on his points about like just being hearing like loud noises. Like personally, whenever I hear loud noises, I'm always like a bit more tense because you never know if it's a fight or there's construction going on or like there might be someone dangerous on campus. And another point I want to bring up for me personally is that whenever I'm walking alone in the hallway, I'm especially more terrified because you're alone. And in a situation where you're alone and you see someone dangerous, that is more terrifying to me than when I'm around with my classmates or when it's transition periods because there's people around you. And that's where I usually am not as terrified about these situations. But when I'm especially alone on campus, that's when I'm more scared about these situations. Like Jad said, like our campus is not built for situation like dangerous situation. Like if there is a potential shooter on campus, there's really no place you can get to quick to make sure you're safe because it's so big and it covers such a big area that is just unreasonably that you can get to a safe place in time, which makes it more terrifying and dangerous situation. And I also want to say that like the safety corner situation, like we have lockdown drills of going into safety corners, but a lot of potential school shooters are our students. Like they would know where students are hiding, where they're located. So personally, I don't see a point of it because it's so easy for them to know where to attack and know where to find students because like just looking at the classroom that the lights are out, it doesn't really hint that there's no students in it because you still have backpacks, you still have items on the student's desk. Like that's a very obvious hint to this shooter that there is students in here and you can attack this place. So
Let me ask you, what is the security like? Do they check every backpack when y'all come to school? Can you just share with us? Because, we don't know what the security measures are that
no,
you.
they don't. Oh,
Oh,
sorry,
no, no,
sorry.
no, no,
Sorry.
no,
I
go
know.
ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
They don't check our backpacks. I've never had my backpack checked like that. There's nothing like checking us before we enter the school, really.
You don't have a
I've
metal
never.
detector that you go through or
Not
anything.
that I'm aware of. I don't think we have. Do we have any? We don't have any metal
We
detectors,
do.
right?
No, we do.
Oh.
So we
Oh,
have
where?
two buildings right next to each other. It's our language and math building and our science, not science, our language and history, TOK, yeah. That's the two buildings where only the doors in between these two buildings, those are the only doors that have metal detectors. Everywhere, I think the gym has one, but that's all the places that have metal detector. Where students enter and like the, where parents drop off their students, there's no metal detectors there. There's no metal detectors when going off the bus. There's none at the, like the student parking lot. So really there's no place for, like, none of the officers check us to go in. Like, that's the only place that there are detectors is between those two hallways. And the only instance that I remember that there was an officer checking a student's backpack was when the teachers found illegal substances in a student's backpack. And they had to call these officers up and check everyone's backpack in that classroom. But that was the only time that that ever happened on campus, to my knowledge.
And then to add on to that, okay, so recently they implemented the laws where only one gate is allowed to be open on, like, the campus at all times.
Right.
And so that, like, personally affects us a lot because a lot of us that say, so for me, for example, I don't have a first period because I had enough credits that I did not have the need to have a first period. And so if I drive to school in the mornings, I drive into the, I park in the student parking lot, and there, like, in second period, like around like the end of first period, there's no security guards there and anyone can just enter the school, and there is supposed to be like a security stop, but there's no one in that security stop, and then there's no security guards even like anywhere around the entrance or like watching it at all times.
Yeah, adding on to what Jad said, there are different gates around the school, but the problem with that is that they close gates and open the gates that do the same exact thing. So you can close one gate, but open the next gate right next to it that will lead the same people in. And there's like, there's this gate where it blocks students from going down onto the campus, but they have a huge ass road open for people driving right down into the school, like the main where everyone is. So like, you're closing gates but opening the same gates that you're really contradicting what you're trying to do. So there's really no point of it because you're trying to close out the people you don't want in, but you're also letting them in. So it's like not really working out.
And I'm sure it's difficult. You know, I mean, you've got a huge campus.
Yeah, most definitely.
Oh, yeah. Any more thoughts? Yeah, share.
I just wanted to add that a lot of the new security measures don't seem like they wouldn't be that helpful in the case of an actual school shooting, like locking all the doors at all times. That would be helpful, but a lot of times, the way it's kind of gone about, it just makes it a lot really annoying for us. And like trying to transition between periods, sometimes the doors in between the buildings will be locked, so you have to wait for someone to come from inside the building and unlock the door. But like in the case of like an actual school shooting, they could probably force open the door by just breaking the windows in the glass, or there's another rule that says you can't like open the classroom door anymore, like during class. But if someone was actually going to start shooting up the school, that probably wouldn't stop them as well. Again, because they can break the glass. They might be in the classroom already. You know, they know the person, because like Tiffany was saying, that the shooters are oftentimes students. So they know all the rules, all the ins and outs of the school.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And like, so a lot of these measures are really built for some, for an outsider, when that's not always the case.
And then, well, yes, go ahead. No.
Just to add one more thing is that the doors that they do lock on campus, the doors that are in between the buildings 23 and 24, the ones that have the most classrooms in, the only doors that they do lock are the ones with the metal detectors. There are doors on the side that are left unlocked but have no metal detectors on them. So it's like the only doors that you enter through are the ones that do not prevent you from bringing dangerous things inside. So it's kind of like counterintuitive. It's just inconvenient for everybody involved.
Well, It sounds very unsettling, to say the least. Okay. But we are going to move on to what's happening on the national front in the presidential campaign. First of all, just briefly, I want to ask you all, where do you get your news? Where do you get your information from? I mean, is it TikTok? Is it Instagram? Do you read the newspaper? Do you listen to NPR? Just share with us at least where you obtain your information. And I'll go with whoever wants to go first. Nishi, you want to start it off? Where do you get your news?
Yeah, a lot of my information does come from social media. I do follow a couple like political accounts on Instagram, and I just see some like clips and stuff on TikTok. But I also am subscribed to a few like newspapers that I get emails for. I think I get emails from CNN and Tallahassee Democrat. But yeah, I used to watch CNN 10 a lot, and then I stopped. Mm-hmm. I stopped doing that. But I will occasionally just, you know, search up something I hear about, and then I'll like read a bunch of news articles like that way. But I don't really go out of my way to, you know, sit down and read like the news every single day or anything.
Okay. Donald, what about you?
I'd say something somewhat similar. I don't really get my news from social media, but I usually get my news from like CBS when I'm looking for it. But as I haven't really been engaging with it a lot since it was just so negative that it kind of stopped, and just get like crucial updates from like my parents or like a headline that I'll come across on like Apple News or something.
And Shahashra, how do you obtain the news?
Well, I usually get like some information from TikTok. The president and like the two contestants that are running this year, they both have HQ accounts where they both post stuff about each other and just, of course, clips from everything. And I also see some things on the news and listening to it on the radio every morning because my dad plays it in the car.
Oh, okay. Jessica?
I think Jessica's actually in the waiting room. She had to leave because she was having audio issues. And then
Well, then let's go to Jad, and maybe Evan can check that out and see if she's in the waiting. Jad.
So I would most definitely be lying if I said that I didn't get a lot of my like surface level information from like Instagram and like TikTok and social media. But for me, I mainly only get my surface level news from there. If I see like a headline on like one of those social medias, I tend to like look it up and I do my own research about it. And then also I get a lot of my information from NPR. I listen almost every day to NPR, whether I'm like driving with my dad or like my parents or whether I'm just driving alone. I like to turn on NPR. And then like when I get home, my parents are usually playing like Al Jazeera in Arabic on the TV, and they're just watching like what's happening there. Okay. So I would say that I have a lot of different sources of news.
And Tiffany?
I'm also really similar with the rest, where I get my surface level news on Instagram. But there's also Apple News, where if there's something that is like important, I will click on it and read the article. I also get my news on YouTube when people like make a longer video of what's happening in the political world. And sometimes my parents will point out like important news regarding us and what's happening to us, to me as well.
Do you all, and I'll just throw this out there and whoever wants to respond, do you all make account for misinformation or disinformation? I mean, is that something that you are concerned about at all?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like especially from social media, specifically TikTok, because it's such an open platform. Mm-hmm. If I see a very big headline, I do go out of my way to search it up and like actually do my research on it, especially if it's something that's more, I guess, unrealistic. And I'll do my own research. So I do think most people do have like that kind of awareness that like some things might not sound right. But I also do think there's plenty of people out there, because I'll look through comments on a post of something that clearly does not seem real, and then there will be people that actually believe it. So it is very easy for misinformation to spread, especially through social media platforms like TikTok. But yeah.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yeah.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, like, whenever I see information, I always check and see where it's from.
Okay.
Like who made the article and stuff. So like I try to stick to like more reputable like newspapers and things. But there, I am worried that like there maybe it is biased in some way. Maybe it's a misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
But I do try to keep that in mind whenever I do try to read the news or an article.
Mm-hmm. And to add on to what Donald was saying, just like whenever I hear something completely outrageous on the news, I'm like, there's absolutely no way. So I have to double check it with my dad because he's usually well informed. Like, for example, when the McDonald's E. coli spread was on the news, I was absolutely shocked. And I was asking my dad and searching it up, like, is this actually real?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments on where you get your news?
I was actually just going to add on.
Hey, sure.
I think it was Sahasra that mentioned the HQ accounts on TikTok. So, like, I don't know if you've seen it, Dr. Holifield, but there's, like, the Kamala HQ, and then there's, like, Trump HQ, like, their campaign accounts, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And they honestly post the most, like, unserious stuff. Like, it'll be stuff regarding the election, but it'll be through like current TikTok trends. And it'll just be very, like, I guess in comparison to past elections, the campaign strategies just seem very not serious at all. And there's not, like, I guess in some ways it's not really wrong, because I think that it engages better with like a younger audience, since we do have a lot more younger voters this year.
Hold your thought, just hold it right there. We got to take a brief break, but I'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
We're back. You want to continue your thoughts?
Yes. Okay. I was just basically saying that this year's election has been a lot less serious than I'd say most other elections are, I guess, taken seriously, because, you know, even their campaign strategies aren't exactly the most formal. But there's nothing, I guess there's not everything wrong with it, because it engages better with a younger audience. I just wanted to point it out, because it's such a big difference in, like, past elections.
Well, how do you all characterize what is going on in the presidential campaigns? I mean, what do you think? I mean, what are the issues? I just want to get your take. And we've got a little while. We've got a good few minutes to talk about exactly what's happening in the presidential campaign. That's all I can say. I mean, I don't want to influence you one way or another. I just want to get, how do you feel about it?
I think there's, I just have one thing to say.
Oh, sure, sure.
I do not mean to keep, stop, like, talking, but
no,
one thing is that I actually saw a news clip this morning, and it was this guy on the news saying how, like, something he's just noticed with this election is that the double standards, because there's a woman that's running and then a man that's running.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump specifically is allowed to be lawless, while Kamala Harris has to be flawless. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was such a good quote, because we'll see that, like, the second Kamala Harris does anything, I guess, out of line, you'll have so many people rushing to hate on her for anything, like, that goes slightly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trump will have, I don't know, over 30 felony counts against him, and yet he's still running for president. So,
yeah. Right. You know, it's the rhetoric. I mean, think about, you know, that all that happened when President Trump stated that Haitians had invaded Springfield, Ohio, and they were eating the cats and the dogs and even the geese. And the city officials denied it, but it had an effect on the college there had to close, schools had to shut down, hate groups patrolled the city. Grocery stores were closed. People were scared. I mean, when does it stop?
I think that it stops whenever we stop upholding a person who continually spreads misinformation mm-hmm. and spreads harmful ideas against people and then continuously like says their own ideas about how after they're elected for. So personally, I am not able to vote in this election.
Right.
But if I could, I would be voting for Kamala Harris, because I feel like when we speak about Donald Trump, we always are hearing about the misinformation that he's spreading and all of these like horrible things that he's saying about people, how he's going to turn the mm-hmm. military against people, like U.S. citizens. And
I think he might do it.
And how he wishes that he had U.S. He wishes he had U.S. generals that treated him like he was Hitler mm-hmm. and how they would follow him like he was Hitler. And also, I think the main problem with this year's campaign with him, too, is that in before, when he was president, he had a vice president like Mike Pence. And Mike Pence was not a very great person, in my opinion, but he still respected that Donald Trump was not a dictator. He was not somebody that had absolute rule in mm-hmm. in politics. And he was not somebody that should have absolute power. But I feel like this year's running mate with Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, continually shows that his only loyalties are with Donald Trump and that he will not stop Donald Trump if Donald Trump decides to do anything against the American people and not in their best interest.
Yeah. Other comments?
I want to add on to what Dad is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is especially prevalent in this election because of what just passed in the Supreme Court this year, where they ruled that presidents can be above the law. Presidents can do whatever they want and not get prosecuted like based on their actions, which is something that Donald Trump was held against on his last presidency. But this time, if he becomes president, we don't know what he can do. And based off of his previous action, like all his criminal charges based off of the Capitol riot, based off of all his fraud that he's about to be like charged with, like what his sentencing is right after the election if he loses, these are all past behaviors that I think everyone should be more considerate when thinking about who to vote, because these are all past behavior of what he can do mm-hmm. when there were law in place, and now there could be no law in place that could like essentially hold him back. So we're like, what, these are things we should be worried about. And another thing about like Trump, like what Jad has said, like he has spread a lot of misinformation in the media. And I don't know if you guys heard about his two books, like his bibliography and his self-written books. Like in those two books, he has said that he is a person who likes to win. Not in the sense that you're winning on the basis of the rules of the game, but to win just so you can say that you won. So he basically is essentially saying that he wants to win without, like, based on doing anything. He will do anything just to win. Mm-hmm. And we can see that he loves to get attention. So I think that's where his love of using misinformation comes from, because when he said on the debate that people are eating the dogs, the cats, and the geese, he got the attention he wanted. Everyone was talking about that for weeks. Like, did you hear him talking about that on the debate last night? Like, it got the attention he wanted, which is essentially, it's essentially really bad because it's influencing people who don't like to search up information and correct what they're hearing.
Who else? How do you feel? What do you all think? I haven't heard from everyone.
Well, there was something that Jad like just touched on.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that I think it all ends when we stop like putting these politicians on pedestal, like people who spread misinformation on like a pedestal. And I think that it just applies to everyone if we stop putting people on a pedestal, trusting everything they say, and instead, you know, actually thinking about it and you know, researching whether or not their claims are correct and everything. And like, yeah, that's really what I was trying to say, is that we should really just blindly trust really what anyone is saying and really like try to investigate it.
Do we need to establish any kind of rules? I mean, I guess they can't. He tells so many lies, it's not even worth the time to even fact check him. I've heard the commentators say, well, you know, we can't fact check him because we would lose so much time fact checking him because almost nothing he's saying. I mean, how do we handle it? How do they handle this? Because some people, a lot of people, I guess, believe him. They did believe him. Obviously, they believed him. Look what happened in Springfield, Ohio.
It's honestly because, like, especially MAGA supporters, they all idolize him. And I feel like the second you idolize a political figure, it loses, like, you know, you lose your voting objectivity because, like, you're no longer able to see that person objectively. So if they do anything wrong, you're just like, oh, it's that person, so it doesn't matter. Like, I've seen these videos where a person will go around and they'll be like, if Joe Biden said this and this and this, would you like vote? Like, what do you think we should do? And then the person will be like, oh, that's terrible. This is why he shouldn't be president or whatever. And then they'll go back and they'll say it was actually Donald Trump that said this. And then the person will be like, that's a lie. The video is edited. And they'll just go back on their words because they idolize Donald Trump. And I feel like because that happens, it just like loses the value of voting because you're no longer able to actually research and see things from an objective perspective.
Yeah.
I agree with what Nishi said, and there's been some college students I've been talking to, and what they've been telling me is that, like, there has certainly been an issue with people starting to idolize Trump. Like, when Trump had two assassination attempts, and after that, some people has been talking about how, like, oh, he's not meant to, like, essentially die because he comes to save us. Like, if two attempts can't take him out, that means that he's here for us and he's here to save us. So basically everything he's saying is for the good of us, which is really bad, because when there is a person who likes to spread misinformation and you start to idolize them, you just start to think that everything is true and you just don't fact check it, which is really, really scary, because you are voting for things that might not actually be even true, and it could be really harmful to the rest of everyone in the country.
Other comments? What do you feel? Go right ahead.
I was just gonna say, I just searched up, I remember when I watched the presidential debate, there were a lot of things that were, I guess, misspoken. I think if I remember correctly, it was Kamala Harris had one thing, I guess, that wasn't accurate, but then Donald Trump had 33 lies said during the debate.
Yeah.
And yet, if you look at the presidential polls, like the current polls, it's still a close race. Change much at all.
What does that say? When you look at the polls, given the two candidates, when we know how they differ, and you look at the polls and they're so close, what message does that send to you all? How do you interpret those polls? What does that say about the American people?
I think that for the American people, it personally, like, it adds, like, a sense of shame to us. Because, like, all of these other countries are, like, progressing, and they're seeing what's happening in the United States, and they're just thinking to themselves, like, how is this such a close race? Like, I was recently speaking to my cousins. I was speaking to my cousins who live in, like, Lebanon and who live in, like, the West Bank. And they were saying, I don't understand how anyone is voting for this, like, for Trump, because, like, he clearly does not, like, see you guys as, like, you know, his interests. And I was telling them about how, for some reason, he's been allowed to have this platform, and he's been allowed to continually lie, to continually make these threats against us as American citizens, and how nobody's trying to stop him, because everybody that does supports him to such a level where it's idolatry, and it's unstoppable, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Jad is saying, like, it's kind of disappointing when you look at the polls, because I think on a normal level, when you hear, would you pick between a criminal and a regular citizen, you obviously would choose a citizen rather than a criminal, which is kind of a reflection of what this election is. It's a criminal who's about to be convicted if not chosen to be right. president, and a citizen who is running for president. And it's really sad to think about how close this race is when we know what has happened to the past with Donald Trump as our president and what he has done to keep in power, like how he had the Capitol riot, how he tried to make his own vice president not pass the election, like the results mm-hmm. of the election. And that's terrifying to think that he was willing to do this to his own vice president. Then what does it mean for the rest of us? Right. If he doesn't even care about the life of his own vice president, who he chose to run with him, what does it mean for the rest of us who are just normal civilians? And another thing that is very alarming to me personally is the Project 2025 plan, which it's a far stretch that most media are talking about. Like, this might not happen, but it's an overall what could happen, because the people who wrote the plan were people who are Trump supporter and are friends of Trump. And for us students, what I find the most alarming is the eradicating of the education department, like mm-hmm. just throwing it away and making a new one. And for us who are in school and even transitioning into college, that's the most alarming for me, because this is going to impact us directly in our lives, because we are students and we're trying to learn. And if our learning is being inhibited or being affected, then that's a really alarming part, because a future of a country is dependent on the people. And if the people who are learning stops to learn, then what can be the future of the country? So that's one of my most concerning points of this election.
You raised some valid issues. Other comments?
Yeah, I just, like, it's really crazy how much they idolize him. It's like it's almost like they see him as a religious figure. Like mm-hmm. it's just how just blindly they follow and accept everything of him, and any kind of criticism is fake news. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's the most extremist followers. They're just, you know, anything that's negative about Trump is fake news, or it didn't happen, or is biased. So it's just insane, is what I'm trying to say.
I also think, like, all of this that's happening right now could be something that we look back on in the future, because in a few decades, our generation will be the ones yeah. that are running for power, and people will, like, if we emphasize this fact now, then later in the next presidency and the next runnings, then we can talk, we can see, like, the candidates, like, stop spreading misinformation, stop doing this, and stop just creating chaos. Because when you're on that pedestal, any words you say, whether it's three words or a sentence or a long speech about just one particular thing, that can affect so many people in so many ways.
Any other comments?
I agree with what Jessica said. I think this is an important, like, election that everyone in, like, mm-hmm. towards the future would probably reflect on, mm-hmm. on how important this election is, not only because that we're having a new president, but also because what it could mean for the future constitution, the future law, the future democracy that the United States could have. And it's a real problem, because a big part of the United States is that it's a democratic, I mean, it's a republic democratic system, yeah. but our thing is that it's for the people. And if the people can't say something, then what yeah. does it mean for our country?
Well, my sincere appreciation to all of you. It has been a joy to have you. And I look forward to talking to you again. It's time out for this edition of 411 Teen. And many, many thanks to the 411 Teen Politics Rap panelists and student producers. To my listening audience, much appreciation for your time and your ear. This is Dr. Liz Hollyfield inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Evan Rossi. If you would like to participate in the 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Teen at wfsu.org.